Reacher fished it out of the stove. He handed it to Holland. Holland carried it to the stone building's door. He slipped it into the lock, turned it. The lock sprang back. Chapter 33. Reacher tried the handle. It turned downward 60 degrees with a hefty motion that was halfway between precise and physical, like an old-fashioned bank vault. The door itself was very heavy. It felt like it weighed a ton, literally. Its outer skin was a 2-inch-thick steel plate. Inset by 2 inches in every direction on the back was a 10-inch-deep rectangular protuberance that socketed home between the jambs and the lintel and the floor saddle. The protuberance was like a welded steel box, probably packed with ceramics. When closed, the whole thing would make a seamless, foot-thick part of the wall. The hinges were massive, but not recently oiled. They shrieked and squeaked and protested, but the door came open. Reacher hauled it through a short 2-foot arc and then slipped in behind it and leaned into it and pushed it the rest of the way, like pushing a broken-down truck. Nothing but darkness inside the stone building.
"Flashlights," Holland said.
Peterson hustled back and visited both cars and returned with 3 flashlights. They clicked on one after the other, and beams played around and showed a bare concrete bunker maybe 20 feet deep and 30 feet wide, 2 stories high. The stone was outside veneer only, for appearances. Underneath it, the building was brutal and utilitarian and simple, and to the point. In the center of the space, it had the head of a spiral stair that dropped straight down through the floor into a round, vertical shaft. The air coming up out of it smelled still and dry and ancient, like a tomb, like a pharaoh's chamber in a pyramid. The hole for the stairwell was perfectly circular. The floor was cast from concrete 2 feet thick. The stairs themselves were welded from simple steel profiles. They wound round and down into distant blackness.
"No elevator," Peterson said.
"Takes too much power," Reacher said. He was fighting the pedantic part of his brain that was busy pointing out that a spiral was a plane figure, 2 dimensions only. Thus, a spiral staircase was a contradiction in terms. It was a helical staircase. A helix was a 3-dimensional figure. But he didn't say so. He had learned not to. Maybe Susan in Virginia would have understood. Or maybe not.
"Can you imagine?" Holland said in the silence.
"You're 7 years old, and you're looking to head down there, and you know you won't be coming back up until you're grown."
"If you got here at all," Reacher said, "which you wouldn't have. The whole concept was crazy. They built the world's most expensive storage facility, that's all."
Close to the stairwell shaft, there were 2 wide metal ventilation pipes coming up through the floor, maybe 2 feet in diameter. They came up about 1 yard and stopped, like broad chimneys on a flat roof. Directly above both of them were circular holes in the concrete ceiling. 1 shaft would have been planned as an intake, connected to one of the building's fake chimneys, fitted with fans and filters and scrubbers to clean the poisoned air. The other would have been the exhaust, to be vented up and out through the 2nd fake chimney. An incomplete installation, never finished. Presumably, the fake chimneys were capped internally. Some temporary fix that had lasted 50 years. There was no sign of rain or snow inside the bunker. Reacher stepped over to one of the pipes and shone his flashlight beam straight down. Like looking down a well, he couldn't see bottom. The pipe was lined on the inside with stainless steel, smooth and shiny. Efficient air movement, no turbulence, no furring, no accumulation of dirt. Regular cleaning had not been on the agenda. There would have been no one left alive to do it. Reacher stepped back and leaned over the stair rail and shone his flashlight beam straight down the stairwell.
saw nothing except stairs. They wound on endlessly, wrapped around a simple steel pipe. No handrail on the outer circumference. The space was too tight.
"This place is very deep," he said. His voice echoed back at him.
"Probably need it to be," Holland said. The stairs had once been painted black, but their edges were worn back to dull metal by the passage of many feet. The safety rail around the opening was scuffed and greasy. Peterson said,
"I'll go first."
5 to 10 in the evening. 6 hours to go. Reacher waited until Peterson's head was 7 feet down, and then he followed. The stairs were in a perfectly round, vertical shaft lined with smooth concrete. Space was cramped. There had been construction difficulties. The voice from Virginia had read him notes from faxed files. The design was compromised several times during construction because of the kind of terrain they found. Clearly, the terrain had meant they hadn't drilled beyond the bare minimum. The diameter was tight. Reacher's shoulders brushed the concrete on one side and the central pipe on the other. But it was his feet that were the major problem. They were too big. A helical staircase has treads that narrow from the outside to the inside. Reacher was walking on his heels the whole way. Coming back up, he would be walking on his toes. They went down and down and down. Peterson first, then Reacher, then Holland. 50 feet, then 75, then 100. Their flashlight beams jerked and stabbed through the gloom. The steel under their feet clanged and boomed. The air was still and dry and warm, like a mine, insulated from the surface extremes. Reacher called,
"See anything yet?"
Peterson called back,
"No."
They kept on going, corkscrewing down and down and down, their flashlight beams turning perpetually clockwise, washing the troweled concrete wall. They passed through strange acoustic nodes where the whole shaft resonated like the bore of an oboe, and the sound of their feet on the metal set up weird harmonic chords, as if the earth's core was singing to them. 200 feet, then more. Then Peterson called,
"I'm there, I think."
Reacher clattered on after him, 2 more full turns. Then he came to a dead stop, deep underground. He sat down on the second-to-last step. He used his flashlight. Left, right, up, down. Not good. He heard the voice from Virginia in his head again.
"Something about the construction compromises made it useless for anything else.